From Canto 10, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, verses 20 through 22, the rainy season and autumn. So we'll do word for word and do verse 20 together, and then 21 and 22 I'll do by myself. Word for word for verse 20, Megha of clouds, we can say together, Agama, because of their arrival, Utsava, who celebrate a festival, Hrishta, becoming joyful, Pratyanandan, they cried out in greeting, Sikandina, the peacocks, Griheshu, within their homes, Tapta, those who are distressed, Nirvina, and then become happy, Yatha, just as, Achyuta, of the infallible personality of Godhead, Jana, of the devotees, Agame, upon their arrival. Megha gamostava. Can Abba say it? Megha gamostava hishta. Megha gamostava hishta. Thank you. Megha gamostava hrishta. Pratyanandan chikandina. Pratyanandan chikandina. Griheshu tapta nirvina. Griheshu tapta nirvina. Yathachyuta janagame. Megha gamotsava hrishta. Pratyanandan chikandina. Griheshu tapta nirvina. Yathyachyuta janagame. Please chant. Pratyanandan chikandinam. Griheshu tapta nirvina. Tathachyuta janagame. Mothers. Megha gamotsava hrishta. Pratyanandan chikandina. griheshu tapta nirvina yatya chuta janagame. Translation and purport by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The peacocks became festive and cried out a joyful greeting when they saw the clouds arrive. Just as people distressed in household life feel pleasure when the pure devotees of the infallible Supreme Lord visit them. Please say together. The peacocks became festive and cried out a joyful greeting when they saw the clouds arrive. Just as people distressed in household life feel pleasure when the pure devotees of the infallible Supreme Lord visit them. Purport. After the dry summer season, the peacocks become jubilant with the arrival of the first thundering rain clouds, and thus they dance in great happiness. Srila Prabhupada comments, "We have practical experience that many of our students were dry and morose previous to their coming to Krishna consciousness, but having come in contact with devotees, they are now dancing like jubilant peacocks." Jai Srila Prabhupada. So verse 21 and 22 also have purports, but I will speak a little bit on this verse and then we'll go to the next two verses. So this comment by Srila Prabhupada is in the Krishna book, in this section of the Bhagavatam, in this section of Canto 10, and in which Srila Prabhupada is talking about his disciples becoming like jubilant peacocks. And actually Keshava Prabhu kind of brought the cat out of the bag yesterday when he mentioned it yesterday, and I was saying, oh, I hope he doesn't speak very much about it, but he just mentioned it. Because this this comment of Srila Prabhupada has been taken to heart by so many of the devotees, and I was looking through on the Veda base and found that many, many Vyasa Puja offerings have this particular comment of Srila Prabhupada, and they're expressing their appreciation at how Srila Prabhupada, when he came, and he made them so jubilant by coming and by giving them Krishna consciousness. And there is a letter which I thought I'll read to you. Just, it's got two lines of a letter which is quoted in Harisori Prabhu's Transcendental Diary. So the devotees are in New Vrindavan and they were expressing their anticipation of Srila Prabhupada's visit there. So the letter says, "Simply thinking of your coming has brought us back to life, or like waking after a long winter hibernation. I think that we had all given up hope of you ever coming, but now we are all dancing in anticipation like jubilant peacocks." And we know from so many experiences, which I have only experienced secondhand by reading the different biographies of Srila Prabhupada, that the devotees would feel so much anticipation and so much happiness when Srila Prabhupada would come to the different temples. They would work all night, they would work for weeks and weeks to make the temple very acceptable and beautiful for Srila Prabhupada's visit. And actually last Sunday, I was in the Pujari room and I was hearing the memories of Srila Prabhupada, and one devotee was speaking about, I don't know who it was, but he was speaking about Srila Prabhupada going to the Doghouse Auditorium. I don't know, must be a famous place. What was it? Family Dog, some auditorium, that's what I remember. And he was saying how there were thousands of hippies there. And when Srila Prabhupada came, he said, first of all, he said, he was like a swan among men. And as he came in, tidal waves of happiness rippled amongst the thousands of hippies. Tidal waves of happiness. So, like Srila Prabhupada always said, "I'm turning hippies into happies." So the happiness comes when a pure devotee comes in our midst. And it's described in this verse as how the peacocks become festive. And actually Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur he's saying that all these metaphors which are in this chapter, which are portraying, the different seasons in Raja, they are, some of them are favorable to devotees or to practice of Krishna consciousness, and some of them are unfavorable. So this metaphor or this simile is a positive example for devotees, because as grihasthas, as aspiring Vaishnavas, when we see other devotees and when we invite other devotees into our space, not only to our house but into our space, into our personal space, which means as I talk to a devotee, as I talk to another somebody in the temple grounds or wherever, we are actually inviting someone, or we are coming in association with another devotee, and we need to become so happy and so joyful. And if it is not happening, it's because there is some anartha in my heart. There is some anartha which I have to pull out from my heart, because that pleasure we feel when we are around, it is like they have a force field around them, and we can just raise our consciousness by taking their aura, by taking the positive from there. There might be some negative, we might think this person has this negative quality or that negative quality, but the most thing we have to appreciate is that they have Krishna in their heart and they are actually practicing. They are practicing Krishna consciousness. So we can become festive and we can cry out, Hari Bol, as soon as we see a devotee. And that actually makes us very happy. So that's what the happiness is, just like the clouds which arrive and the peacocks become so joyful. And there is also one pastime, very famous pastime of Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they're meeting on the banks of the Godavari. And in that pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorifying Ramananda Roy, but when Ramananda Roy gets to say something, he takes a very humble position and he says, I am just a Shudra. I'm a Shudra. And so he's glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these two verses, he says about how the saintly people come to deliver the fallen. So this is Madhya Leela 839, and he says, Mahanta Sobhava Atarite Pamar Nijakarya Nahita Buyana Taraghar. It's the general practice of all saintly people to deliver the fallen. Therefore they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that the real purpose of a sannyasi or a saintly person who is visiting a householder's place is to enlighten the occupant of every house by preaching Krishna consciousness. And he goes on to say that a sannyasi is not a beggar. He is just there to deliver the fallen souls. And then he talks about in the West, where we devotees go from door to door to introduce a book about Krishna consciousness. And he's saying it's just so that they become enlightened by reading that book. And he also says that over here we can't really beg from door to door, because people will call the police on us. And it has happened several times. But by doing that door-to-door book distribution, personally I've done it very few times, but it is so joyful. It is so rewarding. Because we see that, or that you can understand, there is this person's journey towards Krishna. He has begun his journey. And you meet such people who are really waiting, it seems, to get that book, to get that knowledge. I'll just share with you one, maybe I already shared this story with you. A couple years ago, we were going out with Divyanga Prabhu in Gainesville, and in this apartment complex by Santa Fe College, and we were knocking on so many doors, and one out of ten, somebody would open the door. And we knocked on one door, and after a while, twice we had to knock, and a third time, and then somebody came to the door, and he's like, he said, I was cooking, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well. And then I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, I was talking to my Lord, and I was saying, what should I do next? What should I do next? And then you knocked. And he looked at the book and said, this is what I need. I really was praying to my Lord. And then he was saying since he was cooking, I said, oh, well, we have a cookbook here too. So I showed him The Higher Taste, and he was so happy to receive the cookbook and to receive the knowledge, the scriptural knowledge. And he immediately, he gave us a donation, and he said that he would definitely come to the temple. I don't know if he came or not, but he was like just ready. He was praying, and Krishna just brought us to his door. So we can really enliven, in our small way, we can enliven people in general by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And those are the clouds which the peacocks are seeing and getting happy. And we can bring these books which are like clouds, and people can gain so much from the books and just become fixed on the path, or at least start their journey back to Godhead. There is a pastime from the Venu Gita which I found, which is about the actual pastime of, like, the peacocks are in Vrindavan and Krishna is playing the flute. And there's a kind of a long pastime. So if there is time in the end, maybe I'll read it. It's very sweet. So we'll go to the next verse now, verse 21. I'll just read the translation. The trees had grown thin and dry, but after they drank the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, their various bodily features blossomed. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin and weak from austerity again exhibits his healthy bodily features upon enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity. Purport. The word pada means foot and pa means drinking. Trees are called padapa because they drink through their roots, which are likened to feet. Upon drinking the newly fallen rainwater, the trees in Vrindavan began to manifest new leaves, sprouts and blossoms, and they thus enjoyed new growth. Similarly, materialistic persons often perform severe austerities to acquire the object of their desire. For example, politicians in America undergo grueling austerities while traveling about the countryside, campaigning for election. Businessmen also will often deny personal comfort to make their business successful. Such austere persons, upon acquiring the fruits of their austerity, again become healthy and satisfied, like trees eagerly drinking rainwater after enduring the austerity of a dry, hot summer. So coming right in the footsteps of the Nirjal Ekadashi, it's very relevant to us that we all have, many of us have undergone austerity in the sense that maybe not drinking water for the whole day until this morning. And seeing how once we kind of, stop that austerity of, or maybe drink water, just like the trees are drinking water. But we won't, as I was reading this verse, I was thinking of the austerity which the devotees are doing and what's their goal. So of a materialistic person, as it is being pointed out, the person, once he gains, finishes his austerity, he just starts, his goal is to enjoy the objects of his senses. Because, for example, Hiranyakashipu, he had undergone so many austerities for thousands of years, and as soon as he got the boon, he just went back to his palace, became healthy and robust, and was prosecuting all the Vaishnavas, and then his own son. So, like, the Hiranyakashipus of this world are always looking how I can get, by doing some austerity, how I can get something material. And however, the devotee, once they practice, so when we do our Nirjal Ekadashi Vrata, our goal is how I can become a better devotee, how I can become more fixed in my seva, in my service, in my chanting, in my reading. And our prayer is that I become more fixed at the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. So that's the difference in a materialistic person and a spiritual minded person. So in that sense, this analogy is being described as a negative example for devotees. We do not want to be like a tree that as soon as spring comes or as soon as the rainy season comes, we just you know, the austerities are kind of put on the side. And we are undergoing austerity. Actually, this morning I was talking to one devotee and she said, chanting is our austerity. That's our tapa, that we are chanting. And as we are chanting, we are saying, Cheto darpan marjanam. May the dirt be clean, by clean, by clean. Sometimes I chant and I'm thinking every mantra I'm chanting for a few rounds, Cheto darpan marjanam. Oh my dear Lord, please clean, please help me get rid of all these anarthas which are in my heart, because they are really coming in the way of approaching you. So in that way we can actually, when we accept the austerity in the devotional service, then our spiritual life will actually become very blissful. There will be unlimited bliss in our spiritual life. And Krishna says, when I was first reading this verse, I was reminded of the verse in chapter 18, austerity and penance should never be given up. Yagya danam tapa karma na tyajam karyam eva tat. So acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are never to be given up. Indeed, they purify even the great souls. So we'll always be undergoing austerity and penance throughout our Krishna conscious life, and not be like a tree which will just do for a little bit and then become happy and then give up. What is it called? Tyaga bhoga. Enjoy and then renounce. We don't want to be in that cycle of bhoga tyaga. So now we'll go to the next verse, verse 22, which is about the cranes. The cranes continued dwelling on the shores of the lakes, although the shores were agitated during the rainy season. Just as materialistic persons with contaminated minds always remain at home despite the many disturbances there. Purport. During the rainy season, there are often mudslides around the shores of lakes, and thorny bushes, stones and other debris sometimes accumulate there. Despite all these inconveniences, ducks and cranes continue meandering around the lake shores. Similarly, innumerable painful occurrences are always disturbing family life. But a materialistic man never even considers leaving his family in the hands of his grown sons and going away for spiritual improvement. He regards such an idea as shocking and uncivilized because he is completely ignorant of the absolute truth and his relationship to that truth. And we are so familiar with that, as with that part of how people get very disturbed when you tell them it's a good idea to, you know, renounce your householder life, to go away. And actually they think it's glorious when he was surrounded by his friends and family when he passed away. They think that's their perfection. All his sons were around him and his wife was by his side. But we know from scriptures that it's very glorious when someone passes away totally by themselves, only chanting the holy name. Or if you are around devotees, not just somebody is just patting your arm and saying, it'll be okay. Like you see in movies, you know, they'll say, everything is going to be okay. And the person is about to die. And this is the last thing they hear. Everything is going to be okay. And that's not the kind of death we want. That's not the kind of life we want. We think everything is going to be okay. And the shocking thing which we want to tell is, yes, it's okay to leave your family, in the sense that when your children are grown and your responsibilities are they have been handed over to your children, then you can leave. And in the case of devotees, we can keep chanting. I mean, every day is our we are actually practicing such renunciation, because we are, even though we are, like Srila Prabhupada used to call his grahasthas, they are my, what did he say, sannyasi grahasthas, or householder sannyasis, something like that. And because Srila Prabhupada was seeing how the grahasthas were were so much involved, actively involved in spreading Krishna consciousness and going to new countries. Practically nobody they knew over there, and they were giving Krishna consciousness to so many people. So that's the honorable thing, that's the glorious thing we do is, we, as much as possible, wherever we are at, we give Krishna consciousness to others, and we make our own life, like Prabhupada would say, we have to make our own life successful, and then we can give it to others. We can give Krishna consciousness to others. So there is a song by Narottam Das Thakur, which many of us, I don't know the full song, but I found this part, the last verse of this song. The song is Gorangera Dutipada. Gorangera Dutipada Yardhana Sampada. So the last verse of this song is very relevant to this verse here. The last verse. Gora Prema Rasarnave Setarange Yebadube Se Radha Madhava Antaranga Grihe Vavane Te Thake Ha Goranga Bole Dake Narottama Mange Tara Sangha. So Narottam Das Thakur is saying that he wants association of such a person. Either he is a Grihastha, Griheva, Vanete, or he is a Vanaprastha. He wants association of such a person, one who is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and is always crying the holy name of Lord Chaitanya. So that's the kind of person we want to associate with. And not a materialistic person who's mentioned in this verse, with contaminated minds, who always remain at home despite the many disturbances there. And Srila Prabhupada actually points out that for a materialistic person, the worldly affairs, they become too aggressive for them. Whereas a person who is in Krishna consciousness, everything appears to be happily situated. So even though so many adversities come in our life, when we are trying to be Krishna conscious, we actually can see from the perspective of Krishna. What is Krishna desire? This must be Krishna's plan for me. And but just by that change in the consciousness, we really are able to tolerate many inconveniences. And become jubilant, like the jubilant peacocks, which has been mentioned in this part of the Bhagavatam. So at this point, I would like to read, since we have, it's 8:30, I'll read, maybe I'll read part of this thing which I printed out. It's from Venu Gita. It's translated by Shivaram Swami, chapter 6, and it's called Vrindavan Glorifies This Earth. So Krishna is taking rest, and he just woke up, and his friends are also sleeping nearby. So Krishna started playing the flute. When Krishna blew the nectar of his lips into the flute, a melodious raga with a slow rhythm and deep bass notes emerged from his end. Sounding like the mystifying mantra of rumbling clouds, this wonderful vibration enchanted the peacocks on and around Govardhan Hill. Enthused by its sound, their hearts began to sing in happiness. They raised their legs, fanned their tails, and arched their necks, filling the sky with their own song. This Param Mohan mantra, the resonant vibration of the flute, then drew all the peacocks and peahens to the side of Govardhan Hill, encouraging them to enter into their pastime of dance. Krishna, who is known as Kalanidhi, the source of all dramatic arts, became very pleased with the dancing of the peacocks. Sailing into their midst like a wonderful cloud, he encouraged them by his kind glances and sweet smiling. Sri Krishna is just like a blue cloud, and the sound of the flute is like the rumbling of thunder. When ordinary clouds resound, special feelings arise in peacocks. But Shyamasundar is no ordinary cloud. He is a Megha Vishesh, a very special cloud. Also, the sound of the Venu is no ordinary thunder clap. It produces a very special rumbling like Gargita, Gargita. When the peacocks see this special cloud, and when they hear its special thunder, Their ecstasy surpasses any earthly experience, and intoxicated by love, they dance with their wives in a very, very special way. They lifted their legs rhythmically, moving forward and backward, their heads bobbing up and down, tears of ecstasy rolling from their eyes, expanding their tails to reveal multiple rainbows. They vibrated their feathers with ever-increasing speed until they finally stopped, and then began once again slowly, then fast, and then faster. Every time they stopped, the peacocks called out, "Keka, keka, keka." Their voices echoing through the valleys from Radhakund to Puncheri. As the holy name circles the globe when chanted, the kirtan of the peacocks bound Govardhan Hill like a firebrand of spiritual sound. In time, it became impossible to distinguish their cries from the echoes they produced, and the combined vibration became tumultuous. Experiencing this wonderful medley of sound, the excitement of the peacocks reached a pitch, and they repeatedly jumped up and down, their wings flapping, their feathers quivering, their necks arched, and their heads swiveling from side to side. Encouraged by the ecstasy of their husbands, the peahens looked from side to side, rotated clockwise, then counterclockwise, all the while expanding their dark tails like demure fans of delight. There's more. May I continue? There's some more, maybe another one and a half minute. While this extraordinary dancing of fowl took place, the great king of peacocks, swaying under the influence of Kirtan Ras, made his way to Govinda's lotus feet, the tears from his eyes muddying the earth. He first touched his beak to Shri Krishna's lotus feet and then raised his neck to the sky, calling out in ecstasy, "Keka, Keka." Shri Krishna, who knows the language of all animals, accepted the king's request, who prayed, "Dear Govinda, please dance here with us. Please play your flute and make us dance, that we may glorify your unlimited pastimes and qualities." Without removing the flute from his lips, Shri Krishna cast a love-laden glance at the king of peacocks, causing him to stagger under the weight of its tenderness. All the peacocks and peahens then gathered in a large clearing, with Shri Krishna purposefully moving in their midst like the royal guest of honor. Once in the center, Shri Krishna began to dance like the peacocks, increasing the tempo of his flute, playing to the rhythm of his steps. Moving his neck as they do, Shri Krishna arched his back, and projected his posterior to the delight of all. With stiff, erratic movements, his eyes roving from side to side, ornaments and garlands swaying, he appeared like the presiding deity of peacocks, teaching his descendants their own heritage. In this way, the peacocks danced to the songs of the flute, moving to the mood Shri Krishna manifests who is eternal emissary. So sweet. So the peacocks, when we say the jubilant peacocks, that's the peacocks we're talking about. That they are in ecstasy when they see Krishna and when they hear his flute. So we'll read the verse again. The peacocks became festive and cried out a joyful greeting when they saw the clouds arrive. Just as people distressed in household life feel pleasure when the pure devotees of the infallible Supreme Lord visit them. The trees had grown thin and dry, but after they drank the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, their various bodily features blossomed. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin and weak from austerity again exhibits his healthy bodily features upon enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity. And then the cranes continued dwelling on the shores of the lakes, although the shores were agitated during the rainy season, just as materialistic persons with contaminated minds always remain at home despite the many disturbances there. Thank you very much. If you have some comments or questions, I'll try to answer them.
Hare Krishna, Mother. Thank you for that description of Krishna dancing. Isn't that described there that that's how the peacocks rewarded Krishna by giving him the peacock feather, and that's why he wears it?
You know, I read to the end of the pastime and it didn't say that. That, at least till where I read.
Hmm. I thought I'd read that that's why they gave him that's why he wears the peacock. They rewarded him after dancing and pleasing them with the peacock feather.
Maybe I'll read some more today and find out. Thank you. Yes, Mukunda Prabhu.
Vilasgarh in Braj, there's one place, Vilasgarh, which is very far to go up those stairs. At the top of the stairs there at Vilasgarh, similarly, the peacocks came and they danced. And actually, in that place, Radha and Krishna themselves took the forms of peacocks also. Seeing that, the peacocks also thought, oh, he's so expert. And they dropped their feathers on the ground in an offering, and Krishna put on. But, oh, I'm sorry. Also, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because by the time you get up there, you'll be blind. So far to walk. But also very nice, Rupa Goswami is describing Ujjan Lilamani, that these chapters, starting from after seeing Krishna at the chastisement of Kaliya, that the gopis have now beginning their Kaishor age, they're coming of age like mature girls. So they first saw Krishna in that stage of their maturity when Krishna chastised Kaliya. During that time, it was the summer season, so it was very hot. So all the Brijabasis were experiencing how painfully hot it was. But somehow or another, the gopis, they were not experiencing such pain. So Rupa Goswami Pad said because in their hearts, at that time when Krishna would take the cows out for grazing, they could see in their hearts Krishna's pastimes while he was out grazing. Their bodies remained cool even though it was so hot.
Mm.
But when the rainy season came, at that time when Krishna would go out with the cows, sometimes he would go into caves of Govardhan or into big holes in hollowed out trees. So in their hearts, sometimes they could not see immediately. So then Shukadeva Goswami took the poetic license to describe what they were going through in this chapter.
Mm.
So they started describing poetic verses about how they're suffering in household life, but how upon the attainment of Krishna they would be so happy. So this is a whole poetic series leading up to this next chapter, which is Venugit, which you're reading from. And in Venugit, finally after hearing this flute, they will come together and discuss one to another. Because before that time, their shyness wouldn't allow them to speak overtly, even to each other. So only after this time of hearing the flute, they came together. And that time they went into different groups and they began to discuss the effects of Krishna's flute on them and how they all felt. So now everybody's knowing everybody's business now.
Mm-hmm.
First time. So Ujjan Lilamani of Rupa Goswami Pad is describing these things. Very beautiful. Very beautiful things.
Thank you, Bhu. Anyone else? Oh, okay. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai.